You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Tanya Pinkins, and you're listening to my podcast, You Can't Say That, the show where you can, on the Broadway Podcast Network. I kind of pride myself on doing things that scare me. My personal motto is, if brilliance lies in the moment that might not work. It's a quote from producer, director, writer George C. Wolfe. And what it means is that if you're repeating what you already know how to do, then you have given up on ever being brilliant. Now, our society will support you in standardizing your art. But is it art if it can be replicated like a Big Mac or a mocha latte? Is that really art? As much as I thought I was pushing my limits, an encounter with my next guest rocked my world and set me on a collision course with my personal religious upbringing and values that would change my life forever. Please join me in welcoming my next guest, the iconic Bridget Everett.
Oh, okay, cool. So now we gotta watch what we say.
We don't have to watch what we say at all. We can say whatever we want to say. I'm gonna jump right in with scatology.
Scatology? Is that like scat stuff?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Because I often like what I find funny and what other people find funny are very different, and sometimes I can't tell if someone's being funny, because sometimes people's funny is like my real. And I read somewhere,
Lies is always in the truth.
Exactly. So I saw somewhere where you were saying, and yes, it was funny. There was a joke in it, but I wondered if there was truth in it, because there was truth in it for me that you don't audition because you get the shits.
Literally.
And I don't get the shits when I audition, but whenever I have an emotional connection to someone and I'm stressed about them, that's what happens to me. Like,
same thing. It's a roller coaster ride. Like, that's like the first place my anxiety manifests itself, is like right out the back door.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. My son, I had to put him on a plane once in the middle of the airport. Just evacuation.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's just liquid evacuation. And one time my son showed up at something I was at. Yes, you know. Oh, no. So I'm like, okay, you know.
Out in public and everything.
Out in public.
It was winter time
in the airport.
Yeah.
And I had to go in and wash my clothes and then like wear wet clothes home, and it didn't stop for the entire day.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I most of the things I write about are very scatological, because I spend a lot of time with my scat.
I mean, I wish I had a better handle on it, but it's like when I go in, like, I remember I went into like Bernie Tulsi's office to do this audition, and I could just feel it. And they're like, it's like your time. I was like, no, it's not.
Do you have to take something to stop it?
No, I just roll the dice.
Oh man.
I just roll the dice.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to put on a pad or something. You know, I'm like, okay, we're going to kind of catch it somehow.
Well, I'm not far away from diapers because of a couple of reasons, but.
Yeah. So I guess we did jump right in with something you aren't supposed to say. We hit it, but it's something. I have a novel that I've been writing called The Angry Fat Black Woman Who Devours the World, which is about a woman who bites her boss's head off and chews it up and shits it out.
Oh.
And everybody who fucks with her, that's what happens to them. There's just piles of steaming shit all
over. Oh my God, I love that.
So, do you remember when you met you? Because I have wanted to say something to you that I say about you all the time.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, the way I remember it was we were at the meeting, right? Or whatever it's called, the
Night of a Thousand Judies.
The Night of a Thousand Judies, which I think is like an offshoot of Justin Sayre, is like the meeting. But anyway, so yeah, it was like the Night of a Thousand Judies, and we were all there. My friend Jim, who was like so obsessed with you, and like, of course, I'm a fan too, because, you know, I'd seen you in Caroline and Change and everything, and other things too. But I told Jim, and like, I felt like I had to represent for him. You know, like, I had to be cool, because I was like, I do not want to fuck this up for Jim. Like, maybe if I can like get to know Tanya, then Jim will get to meet her and it'll be really cool. It was like a really big deal for us. So,
oh wow, because I just like really loved talking to you. And then when you went
back to get ready to go on stage, everybody was like, oh, you know, Bridget, she does everything on stage. She had somebody suck a sweet tart out of her vagina.
A what? And
that's what someone said, a sweet tart.
A sweet tart.
So sweet out of her vagina. And I was like, that is so ridiculous. And then, you know, I'm in my gown and I'm doing my Judy thing. And I come out on stage and you're singing Come Rain or Come Shine. Oh. And you had on one of those little tops with the elastic here and elastic here. And I think it might have been like a culotte of shorts kind of thing. Uh-huh. And you brought someone up from the audience, a man. And at one point you flashed him. That gave me a little bit of shock. And then you're like singing your ass off. And then you ended the song sitting on his face.
That sounds about right.
And it fucked with me so badly that I left.
Oh, no.
I left. I didn't say goodbye to my guest. Uh-huh. It messed with my head. I didn't have words for what it was, but it just did not compute.
Well, were you like upset by it, or were you sort of, you just didn't know, you just were having a reaction?
I was having a reaction that was so strong. It did not have words to it. It was just like, where am I? What am I doing? What is this? What? I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And so I had to get out of here. And then the next time I saw you, ran into you and Scott Whitman at 54 Below, and I was with my son, Max.
I remember that. Yeah.
And we sat and we all talked and you were like, yeah, you got to come do my show. And I remember thinking like, whoa. Your show. I need to see your show.
I'm not sitting in anybody's face.
And when I came to see your show, I was sitting with Jim.
Yeah.
Who is forever for me, Jim Crow. I call him Jim Crow.
Oh, I know.
When he invited me to his house for dinner, he made some chicken, which is Jim Crow chicken.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We can sell that Jim Crow chicken to black people because this shit is good.
Oh, that shit makes me laugh.
So when I saw your show, I was just blown away by the ingeniousness of all these people taking this material and just doing amazing things with it. And you kept saying, oh, Tanya, you don't have to do that. You can just sing a song.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, if I'm going to do it, I want to go for it. And you put me with Brian Nash.
Yeah.
And we did Blow Me One Last Kiss.
And then didn't you dress up like a nun?
I dressed up like a nun. And I tackled my Catholicism. And I had to tell you, getting ready to go to that, I cried every day.
Oh,
and
no.
I cried all day. And you know Dr. Thelma Reyes, right?
Yeah.
She was like, why are you going to do this? Is this so upsetting to you? And I was like, I just thought I was going to be struck down dead, or my children were going to be struck down dead, that I was doing something so sacrilegious that I would have to be punished for it. And I kind of don't remember doing it, but what I will tell you is that after that, it was like a huge mind shift changed for me, and things that I didn't know I couldn't even contemplate doing were suddenly available to me because I had, you know, entered into trying something that before would not have been acceptable. All of that from watching you like do something that was just like, my Catholic girl was like, no, you can't do that. And then you changed my life, Bridget.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's so funny to think that because I see you and I think like you're just so fearless, like not just on stage, but like as a person. Like I think of you as kind of like a warrior. You know what I mean? Like in a good way. Like just you say what's on your mind. You are a tough fighter. You're incredibly gifted. And like I just feel like you are like one of the best kinds of people to see because like, you know, like as a performer, because I feel like you just like are constantly like walking on the edge and it's like a little scary in the most wonderful way.
That's the same way I feel about you. And what you showed me was there was an edge that I had been avoiding. Like I didn't know it until I saw you do something that somehow pushed a button for me. And then I went to my edge and pushed that button. And so like suddenly it was like, oh, okay. Now I got a whole bunch more stuff I can do. So thank you for that.
All right. Well, hey, you're welcome. That's hilarious. No, I think it's, you know, like all that, like sitting on people's faces and shit. Like I don't really do that right now just because everybody's so touchy.
Has Me Too gotten to you and had to tame down your show?
No, it's not really that. It's just like, you know, the whole reason I'm not even sure like why I was doing it. You know, like it was basically like sort of like taking something back, you know, like a woman taking a power back and like, and sort of, and, but I also don't want to be like a scapegoat for anybody, you know, like any sort of like white cis male, like, you know, return of the white cis male or whatever, you know, like I want everybody to feel unlocked in the audience, like men and women included. But I also, but mostly I want women to feel like powerful and like they can do anything. So I guess like sometimes I took it pretty far. Just, you know, like always just like going as far as I could just to sort of see.
But I think that's why your shows sell out, and that's why people come, because you give them this experience of aliveness that they don't have in their life. That's why I talk to people in the audience when I come to your shows, and they're like, I just never felt so alive than when I'm at a Bridget show. You know, so I think that that's what you do. And I think if people come to your show, you know, willfully and not being dragged there by somebody who doesn't know, I think that's what they're coming for.
Yeah, well, there's always like one person is just like, my wife brought me.
She's like, honey, I want to have some better sex. Maybe if you like mess up, she gives you a motorboat. Which motorboating, what you call motorboating and what I call motorboating are very different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, how's that?
Well, motorboating for me, yours is the tits, know, taking somebody and putting their head between your tits and just shaking them like
classic.
That. That's what you call motorboating. I call motorboating when, like, you know, the embouchure that horn players
have?
That when you can go.
Yeah. On the what? Well, because they got those nice tight lips.
What do you think?
Oh, right on a clit. You know, my mom, when I was growing up, was a music teacher, and I had this crush on this guy, Jason Kaus. He's not going to be listening to a Broadway podcast, but I always loved him. And my mom's like, oh, you know, he plays the saxophone. And I was like, yeah, so? He's like, he's got a nice embouchure. And I was like, yeah, so? She's like, think about it. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, my mom was like this, like, you know, conservative, Republican, Midwestern woman. But she's like, you know,
that
gets
down.
Yeah, she gets down. Yeah. She's not so conservative now. That was like sort of a whisper, you know, that was like a what was to come.
Yeah, embouchure. Yeah.
So I look for that now.
The embouchure. Yeah, yeah. It's worth training somebody who doesn't have an embouchure. Train them for the embouchure.
I've been going through a little bit of a dry spell. Maybe I should just hang out like the Blue Note or something like that. Is that place still open? Like just a little jazz club?
Yeah, the Blue Note is
just
still there. Just find those horn players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to work something out. Somebody's got to be, you know, on a, you know, having a little rough moment in life. They're down on their luck. That's what I want to find, a down on their luck fellow with a good embouchure.
With a good embouchure. That's what we should say in the match.com ad. Yeah. Seeking gentlemen with great embouchure and sustained breath control.
Oh, yeah. Do you do any of that business like the match.com or any business?
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I did it like hardcore, like I did it like it was like I do things like they're like a business. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing a dating doctor who was telling me how to do it.
A dating doctor?
Yeah. And I I would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner dates.
Okay.
She had rules that you had to go out with the person at least three times. And so for about 2 years, I was dating like round the clock, and I ended up marrying someone and dating someone else from that. Yeah. Have you not ever done it?
No, I'm terrified. See, that's that warrior thing about you. I'm scared.
Be terrified.
I don't know. I was on my friend's, not Grindr.
Okay, Cupid, Tinder?
No, it was like, maybe it was like Tinder, but for a guy. It was like with my guy friend.
Okay.
And he was swiping, and I saw like some friends of mine, you know, that are well known or whatever. And I was like, okay. And I was like, and they swipe right, whatever. But I'm scared to do it. It's not like I'm like famous in the way that people are going to care, you know, but or known in that way. But I don't want to be somebody's curiosity, even if it's just the one person, you know.
Right.
Like I hate leaving my house, and only, you know, I'm not going to do it just to like. I'm too fragile.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, there's like some of these dating sites are like I don't know where you went to college.
I went to Arizona.
Oh, Arizona State. That's right. Because I looked up some of the people that went there. Jimmy Kimmel went there, right?
Oh, he might have. I don't know.
I think Jimmy Kimmel went there.
You know who went there was
Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt did? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love her. You know who did it? It was who was the woman that had the she married the kid Villy Falau or whatever her name was. Mary Kay Letourneau. Do you remember Mary Kay Letourneau?
She didn't do something bad, didn't she?
Yeah, she had sex with her
student,
and they're still like together. They got like kids and shit now.
Oh my God!
And then also Scott Peterson, I think, went there too, who killed his wife, Lacey Peterson. Okay. So we got some fucked up people in Arizona State.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you should like change that.
Yeah.
I brought it up because some of the Ivy League schools like have dating sites. Like, oh, okay. If you went to, like, there's this, like, 20 schools, and if you went, I mean, not to say that there aren't perverts at those Ivy League schools, but, yeah. like, you have to be in that league of schools, and you right. can go there. And then one of my friends actually met her husband, who was very successful in one of these sites where you pay, like, $10,000. And
$10,000? You better meet somebody.
$10,000, and you have these videos, wow. and then people agree. So there are, like, you know, more private kind of matchmakers rather than, like, the OkCupids and Match.coms, which there was just an article saying that all of those sites do not screen, and they allow registered sex offenders to use the sites.
That doesn't surprise me. And then, like, all you have to do is, like, I like to read, not on the dark web, just the internet, like, be like, she went out with him, and, you know, she said, are you going to kill me? He's like, ha, 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 no. That was the last text that she ever sent. And I was like, why? I mean, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s, in the early 2000s, I was at karaoke bars all the time meeting people and going home with them. So, it's, you know, I didn't die then, so.
Right, and who would have ever told you 20 years ago that you'd get in cars with strangers and let them take you home?
I know, and I, you know, like, for some reason, like, getting in an Uber late at night when I'm, like, I've had a couple bottles of wine or whatever, like, you know, I'm very vulnerable, right?
Right.
And especially, you know, not all those people have really been vetted in the way that
right.
I...
Right.
For some reason, I trust the yellow cabs. I'm like, they're not going to, because they've got all that money and their medallions on the line. They're not going to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard kind of world. I mean, I got a 23-year-old daughter. She's out yeah. there. Believe me, I bought her a taser.
You did?
Switchblade. yeah.
A taser and a switchblade.
Taser and a switchblade. Like, yeah. Yeah. Let's be ready.
And does she carry?
I hope so. It would be a waste of time if she didn't carry it.
What was the old mace? Like, people, that can't do shit, does it? Do people really still do that anymore?
I think people do, because I know it's illegal to even get mace here.
Oh, it is?
And then the red pepper spray also, that's illegal here, so it must work. It must do something, because isn't that what the police sprayed on the occupation?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it has some effect.
I used to have a picture in my show where I was like, I passed out one time with just my tank top on, and my friend Pilo took a picture. I'm naked from the waist down, and I have I put like one of those guys from the Occupy Wall Street, like, spray and pepper spray. Like, I photoshopped it and sprayed it on my coochie.
Yes, that's kind those of what those guys were doing.
Yeah. Wow, that sort of went away. Nobody talks about that anymore. Nobody talks about Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. I guess
that all just...
They killed that. They just crushed that. I think they've done it with these devices. I've just been reading something called... What is it called? Oh, God, I can't even remember what it's called. See, that's how the technology just messes with your brain. It's about surveillance technology.
Okay, what's that?
That now the biggest commodity in the world is our attention.
Oh, yeah, well, they got
and
it.
And so our attention is labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's vying to get our attention or make impressions so that we're thinking about or talking about them, and that's what people are paying for.
And it's working.
It's working.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Do you ever, like, you know, that thing, now that I have this, I know it's on all phones, but I never used to notice it, like, the amount of time I spend on my phone or whatever. It is really dark. And I feel like I don't, like, write songs anymore. I don't, like, you know, my creativity's been limited. And, you know, I just, like, it's bad. I have to go somewhere and, like, lock myself away to get rebooted, refocused on how to, like, have a day without all that shit.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not on it, I'm, like, listening to music all the time. Right. You know, I'm, like, always in that. And it's, you know, I feel bad for kids because, or younger people, because, you know, especially like you go in a restaurant, you see like kids on their phone or whatever. And I just want, you know, people to create and play, especially myself.
Well, did you, I don't know how old you are, but did you grow up before
I'm
the
21.
Cell phone?
Okay. No.
So no, there were no cell phones when you were first growing up, right?
No. I didn't. Yeah. I got one late. I got one.
Right. So, I mean, you remember a time when your attention was yours, like to imagine with.
I feel
like nowadays kids, they don't even know. Like I give my students assignments to go and write about what happened when you don't say negative words for 2 days.
Yeah.
And they write like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm the most interesting person I know. Really, like all you could write about yourself was a paragraph? Like you weren't like, oh, when I did this and then this happened and then I noticed this. And like, aren't you interesting to yourself? Like that's the raw material that you're making your show out of.
Yeah.
Or your life out of as an artist.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's a thing like, you know, it used to be that I would like sit down and write a lot because, if your listeners don't know, I do like a, you know, cabaret show essentially. And like I tell stories and sing songs and whatever. And
you don't just do that. You're also on a series called Camping.
Oh, yeah.
And you wrote a pilot called Love You More.
Yeah.
Which my students are currently doing scenes from.
Oh, are they really?
Yes,
oh,
my NYU Atlantic students are doing scenes from. And here's the other crazy thing. I've given them real scenes. They didn't go look the series up.
Uh-huh.
They could have looked and seen. I told them it was a comedy. And we look at these scenes like, is that funny to you? Like, they're supposed to be a laugh 15 to 20 seconds. Like, where's the funny? And you have your show with the, you have the Tender Moments.
Yeah.
You also have your other show that you wrote before the show, the show with Scott Whitman also.
Oh yeah. Rock Bottom. Yeah.
I was watching a mom show movie that you did.
Oh, Fun Mom. You know, I'm always out there trying to make a book. But what I was going to say was about like the creativity part, like the, with my shows, I used to like sit in my bathtub or just like sit at a table and like write funny things out and like, and come up with like a little outline for a story idea. And then I would just get and do my, and you know, sort of try to write them out in a way that would make me laugh or whatever. But now like I have to like get an idea and I just do it on stage and just like try to, because it's the only time that there's no distractions and I'm like forced to like.
Right. So you're now living it.
I'm living it more, but it's. You know, it's not fair to an audience to like make them like watch me try to figure it out. I mean, part of that's fun, but part of it's also like, do your job, bitch. Like, get back in your tub, put your phone away, put the internet off. I don't know.
Well, so what's distracting you now?
Well, a lot of this, just the noise, like all the Trump and all this shit and the impeachment and everything.
You watching that circus?
I mean, I watch part of it. And then if I try not to, then, you know, I get a notification on my phone and then I click and I read the article and... Then, you know, I'm stressed out about the planet, so I'm like always reading shit about like what people are doing to block conservation, basically. You know, like how governments are not doing enough, and you know, I follow like all these like National Geographic and you know these photographers that are like showing visually what's happening on our planet, and it's fucking terrifying, especially if you have kids. I don't have kids, so you know I'm gonna be dead, so who gives a shit? But you know, it freaks me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Bridget, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
And of this, I feel very strongly.
Okay.
Mother Earth is not going to let us fuck her up. Okay.
But she...
We cannot fuck up the planet. Now, this might be the end of Homo sapiens.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Homo sapiens.
Mother Earth is going to be fine.
Mother Earth is going to be fine.
Because a bitch will slap back.
Okay,
you know what
that's
I mean?
What I'm saying. She can slap back. She's I'm not worried about the Earth. We may be gone. She might let's shrug us right off. But I'm not worried about Mother Earth.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. Like, I know that Mother Earth is like the fucking, she's like my
mom.
The ultimate warrior. And my mom always used to say about her, like, when like we'd get like a storm or something, she's like, oh, there goes Mother Nature again, kicking up her heels. And it's like, when she kicks up those heels that last time, we're all done.
We're done.
But like, you know, basically like what she is she's, you know, like, she's like this like battered woman and she's only going to take so much and like we are giving it to her and she's fucking like not having it and she's giving it back and giving it back until like one day where she really fucking claps back
and that's just inevitable at
and
this
that's
point.
Just and that's what it is
yeah it's inevitable at this point
I mean you just like everything like I'm really obsessed with like the just like and I'm guilty too you know like Black Friday I'm like fucking looking for the deals and you know and like I'm not doing I'm not walking the walk in the way that I should, you know, but everybody wants and wants and wants and wants. And I used to play this game, Pass the Pigs. It's a really cute game if you want to play like with your nieces and nephews. Pass but it's like pigs. You just roll these pigs and then they like land on their backs or their sides, or their trotters, leaning jowlers, whatever. It's like it's like a dice game, but they're pigs.
Okay.
And my niece and nephew, like they would always like want to roll one too many times. I'd be like, greed kills. Stop. But greed kills is like, I want to get that on like shirts because that is, it's greed. Like we're all so fucking greedy. We all want more, like more stuff. We want more space. We want more dick. We want more, like more jobs, more money, more. And I'm guilty. Like there's this job, I got offered a job and I was like, I don't want to do it. You know, the money's not great, but I've never been to Puerto Rico. I want to go to Puerto Rico. I want to add, you know, I want more. I don't know. Do you
Puerto
know
Rico's really nice.
I'm probably going
to
do it.
I went to Vieques for my birthday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I like Puerto Rico. Good food. Shit. Beautiful. Shit. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. And I'm a travel hog. So, you know, if you want me to work for you, tell me you're taking me somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's like a seductive to me because I like to travel.
Yeah. That's what
but
I mean.
You travel
know.
A lot.
I travel a lot, but you know, there's like when it's a new place I haven't been.
Big C.
I want to go.
That's with me too. I don't feel like that's greed. That's like I'm expanding myself and my consciousness. I'm meeting new people, a new culture.
Yeah.
You know, I consider that like education and enrichment.
Well, that is education and enrichment. And it just happens to be, you know, beautiful, you know, place there's beaches like, you know, blocks away or whatever.
Exactly.
But that I do. I love seeing the culture. And I do think Puerto Rico, like, needs all the money it can get. And like, it's sort of like, in a way it's like you're doing a service because you're like, you're going to work, but you're also spending your money and you know,
but you're also going to go around some inspirational people who just rose up and took that's to what the I'm streets saying. And took a leader down.
Yeah.
Like they have some power that we are kind of waning in right here on the mainland.
Yeah. Cause we're all fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're
distracted.
But, you know,
we're distracted with these.
Yeah.
The ultimate sedative is this.
It is the ultimate sedative. That's right. Wow. I thought I was just going to like, take an edible tonight and, you know, that was the ultimate sedative. But I think you're right. It's actually the phone.
The phone, the computer, the laptop, the iPad, whatever. Yeah.
What I at least try to do now is like when I watch like a movie or something, I try to like just put my phone away for that amount of time to like at least give the respect to the people that made the thing. But if that's just not good,
yeah, no,
I'm on that phone plan.
I'm like watching another thing to do. About 2 years ago, I had a thing where if I wanted to watch a movie, I'd have to do it in the gym on a treadmill or on a bike.
Oh, you got my focus there. Yeah.
And I made myself do that for like 6 months. And I lost a lot of weight, but now I just can't get the motivation to do it. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. I was watching this show, Love After Lockup. I need to get locked on another show like that because it was so...
What was it? What is that?
It's called Love After Lockup, and it's like basically...
People coming out of jail?
Mostly women, but some guys that like, you know, get a pen pal in jail, and then they're supposed to all get married like as soon as they get out.
Oh, God.
And their lives are fucked up. But it's like, when I'm watching that, I'm do not fucking touch me. But that's what I should watch on the treadmill because... I need something on the treadmill, just like forget where I am.
Or even just the recumbent bike, because you know you're getting all that cardio work, but you're sitting back, you're relaxed, your legs are moving. The recumbent bike was the big place that I would do my binge watching.
The recumbent one's the one where you get to sit down.
And yes.
Yeah.
It's the one where you get to sit back like that.
Yeah.
The recumbent bike. I would do that for a couple of hours and watch a few shows.
Oh, that's nice.
I wish I could get myself to do it again. Did you ever do Bikram?
Fuck no.
Why not? You don't like it hot. Oh, that's right. You said you'd rather freeze to death. You made the choice between burning to death and freezing to death. You choose freezing.
But also, like, with yoga, I'm not flexible. I've really been trying to get better about that, like, stretching every day, and it's just not working for me. But I've gone to 2 yoga classes, and not, like, I didn't shit my pants, but I definitely, like, when I get, like, stretched out in a certain way, I didn't even know. I, like, I fart really loud in the class.
Yes, you're going to fart in yoga. It's just what it is.
Well,
you're gonna
fart. I was the only one that did it. I was so humiliated, and now, like... You know, like, I don't want to be, like, just be one person that's, like, a cabaret fan. Like, oh, my God, Bridget Everett was in my yoga class, shitting her brains out. Like, you can't be anonymous anymore. Everybody has to tell, you know, people. And
so what is that like for you? Because you're pretty famous. You've been
on a lot of TV
shows.
But yeah, just enough people that, like, you know how it is. Like, people know who you are. And it's, like, it's not like if you – I feel like I'm well-known enough that, like, you never think like, you know, like I was in Paris. I went on a vacation that I'd never been before. And I went to this place where I didn't want to go because I was like, I don't think we're supposed to go here anymore. I think like the Sultan of Brunei like owns this place and like blah, blah, blah. And then like somebody like tweets at me like, oh, you know, I saw you at the fucking blah, blah, blah. Like, you just never know where there's some eyes on you.
Right.
You know?
There are always eyes on us now.
And you can't like just be like, you know, like if I'm on the train and somebody piss me off, you go fuck yourself. Because I mean, I can, but you know.
So do you feel like somehow the celebrity has encumbered your personal freedom?
No, because I don't think I'm a celebrity. I just think that like I know, especially in New York, people know who I am. So I just can't be like the fucking pig that I was 10 years ago. You know?
I don't know. Would you say that they'd love that? They'd love it because it's you and it's what yeah, you were bringing and they would just true. Love you for whatever you are. I mean, I think of Eminem and his songs. Like, I am what I say I am. Yeah. You know, if I wasn't, why would I say I am? You know?
I'm like always walking down the street. I got no bra on. I'm like, just look like, you know, just a fucking wreck.
But I wouldn't, if I had to not look a wreck, like I like going to the store or to the gym and I just go in my building with my robe and my towel
yeah.
on. Like that's like, yeah, I don't want to give that up.
Oh, you know what was the place that was like, that freaked me out the most is like, I was in this, one of those Korean baths, like there's one in LA
yes.
and like,
oh,
you
I
know,
love them.
Have you been to one like where it's all open and like, there's like your
Olympic or Century?
I think it's like Olympic, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're on there, you're down there and like they're splashing water yes. on you and they're flipping you over.
The scrub.
Oh my gosh. She flipped me over and she fucking accidentally stuck a finger on my butt. I'll never forget it.
Oh my God.
Right at my butt. And I was like, what? But you know, you're like spread eagle.
Was she
you're
embarrassed?
Like, no, she's just like, nah, you know, that's probably happens to her all day fucking long. She didn't care. And, but you know, you're like spread eagle. You're like, whatever. And then for some reason, that was just like a day where like all sorts of people sort of like, I don't know. I'm not like self-conscious about my body, but it's like, also, I don't want to like meet a stranger fully naked, you know, after somebody uh-huh. just slipped their finger up my ass. I just yeah. want to fucking yeah. go home and eat some fruit.
Yeah. Next time you're in the LA, hit the Catch.
What's the Catch?
Catch 22 on Pico in the Crenshaw District, just a little east of there. It's
okay.
a spot that I think you would really like.
Do they like hose you down and stuff too, or? Or
well, it depends
rubs.
On what night, you know. Like, I actually went one night where it was, like, neo-Nazi night, and people had on, like, gas masks and stuff.
Whoa! Tony, you get into some shit.
It's intense.
You get into some shit.
And then another
night. I just want a sweet little massage, and you send me out with some neo-Nazis.
It was kind of wild, and I was with some Jewish people, and we're in this place with the swastikas and the gas masks, and we're like, okay, this is a bar, and people are dancing. Okay, we're here.
Oh, my God.
But another night I went in, it was, like, boy night, B-O. I night.
Okay.
And so it was like, you know, boy, B-O-I, for people who don't know, they're not lesbians. They think of themselves as man, but they were born gendered female
yeah.
and they don't want a lesbian.
Yeah.
They want a woman.
Yeah.
And so you'd have all these like video vixens in the clothes and then you'd have these B-O-I's and
yeah.
then the entertainment was naked boys on poles. Yeah, so
the
Catch. It's
okay.
like Catch 22. Yeah, it's very, very, very nice.
I was trying to go to LA in February because there's this guy that does, he's like a celebrity dog stylist from Japan, and he's like going to be in LA in January.
And does he have a show that you can like be on the show with your
well,
dog, with Poppy?
No, he just has an Instagram, but he was also on like on some, there was like a dogs thing on Netflix that was like a 4-part series. And one of them was like a grooming, like dog show situation. But he like, you know, everybody like all these dog groomers, they make them look so cutesy, but his more look like Farrah Fawcett or like 70s sort of like blowouts. Like his work is incredible. It's his name is like, I gotta look it up.
I think you should like hit him up on
Kenichi
Insta and just say, hey, let's do something.
He just started following me on
Instagram. Okay, so what's his name so we can follow? Because we know Poppy is gonna be there. Poppy is gonna get styled.
His shit is so, you should look him up if you know, like, I follow so many animal accounts. Ken. Yeah, Kenichi at Nagase.
Kenichi at Nagase. And does he have a show or is it just an
Insta account? Kenichi_Nagase. He just does like I just think like, you know, he like does like, he makes like a.
Oh my God, this little doggy doesn't even look real. Kenichi at Nagase. So pretty soon we're going to see Poppy here, right?
I'm hoping so.
Poppy is going to be
his,
Kenichi at Nagase.
Yeah,
I will go to LA in Have you hit him up and said, yeah, I'm interested?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to follow up. But he's like, his shit is artwork. And I just can't wait to see. My dog Poppy is a Pomeranian.
Poppy's here with us. And yeah, Poppy's just sitting there.
She's sitting there. She's quietly. Chilling.
I used to have a Pomeranian. My pom died this year. Simba.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I you know that little cat, Lil Bub?
Lil Bub?
Mm-mm. Lil Bub is a celebrity kitty that just died. And I read the owner's like, you know, Instagram post, and I was like weeping. And then I'm like, just, you know, it's like this little kitty that's all jacked up and like a special needs kitty, and but really cute. But it's famous, you see. But you know, they just bring so much to like our lives. Obviously, I don't know, when Poppy goes, I'm going too.
How old is Poppy?
She's 10.
Oh God.
Basically, ladies and gentlemen, Tanya's just like, it's over.
Well, no, 10 isn't it like 70 in dog years or something like
it's
that?
It's old.
Yeah, 10 is old.
I know. That's why we go everywhere together.
Oh, and Poppy is very sweet. They get to let you take Poppy in restaurants and stuff? Do you say it's your service needs dog, like you have seizures or something, and Poppy has to come in?
Or do you just
keep her in the bag and people don't know?
That's basically. It's a little bit of both. But I do need her with me.
This is Tanya Pinkins. Thank you for listening to part one of my interview with Bridget Everett. Part two is coming up next.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.